We're through 60 minutes and beyond. Live from the Hot Stove Lounge, this is the Flames Talk Postgame Show. Now available on Apple and Spotify. Here's Pat Steinberg.
Following a preseason opening 4-0 Flames win over the Vancouver Canucks here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Pair that with a 3-2 overtime win in the other half of the split squad game in Vancouver earlier, and the Flames 2-for-2 to start the 2022 preseason. Yes, welcome to our Flames Talk postgame show. It's Pat Steinberg along with you. Let's go immediately to the Flames locker room and check in with Flames goaltender Dan Vladar, who made 15 stops on 15 shots through 40 minutes of work in his preseason debut this year. Dan, how'd you feel in your first action of the season?
I actually felt pretty good. Like we had some scrimmage yesterday, so it kind of helped us, I think. So today was obviously a first game for everybody. So, you know, first couple of minutes were just about the field that everybody didn't want to make any mistake. You know, it was just kind of just a simple game. But you know, for me, I was just trying to track the puck real well, get everywhere early, and you know, just compete and kind of get the first one off my back. But obviously I'm really happy that we won today. So
Dan, you faced the 9 shots in the first period and had some really good looks early, especially in a preseason game. How much do you like seeing some pucks and some quality chances for the other team early on, kind of get you the feel of the game?
Exactly, like that's probably the best scenario for every goalie, when you don't see a game situations for a couple of months, and then you jump right into it. And you know, as a goalie, like that's probably the best what can happen to you, just to see some good chances right away. And if you make those saves, that obviously helps a lot. So I'm really happy for that. And as I said, I'm happy with the win. And we just got to keep this going and trying to get better every day, so we are ready for the start of the season.
Dan, what's important for you in the preseason in terms of getting you ready for the regular season? How much do you like to play? How much work do you need? Kind of now that you've had some time in the NHL, what's important for you as you go through the preseason?
I mean, as I said before, like I'm trying to track the puck as most as I can. And obviously the conditioning part is a little bit different during the game than during practices. So, you know, if you practice a lot, it's a great thing. But at the same time, the game conditioning is a little bit different. So I'm really happy that I got those 40 minutes today, and hopefully I'll get some more starts during the stretch. So I'm ready for the season. But yeah, as I said, like I'm just trying to stay focused, give our team chance to win, you know. So I get my spot here. So at the same time, it's never easy, because you get almost 3 teams here that are trying to or competing for the team, so you know. So, but at the same time, we are a great organization here, you know. Like we're a bunch of friends here. We get 50 people right here, I think, right now, and everybody's got each other's back, which is awesome. So, as I said, like we are having fun right now. You know, the practices are tough, but when it comes to game time, everybody's on the same board and everybody wants to win.
Final question for you, Dan. You had a really nice first season as a member of the Flames last year. You played the 23 games. What do you expect from yourself in your second year with the Flames?
You know what? As of right now, I'm trying to focus on I just go day by day, you know. I'm not trying to put too much pressure on my back. I'm literally just focusing on either if it's practice or game, and then I just want to see what happens after. But as I said, like I'm just trying to focus on what comes next to me, and whatever coaches tell me if I'm gonna play or not. I'm just gonna do my best, but obviously I want to play as much as I can, and that's it.
Dan, appreciate the time. Congratulations on the win and good luck this season. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you so much, guys.
Dan Vladar, postgame from the Flames dressing room. He makes 15 stops on 15 shots in his 40 minutes of work, helping the Flames to a shared 4-0 shutout victory over the Vancouver Canucks here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Oscar Dansk chips in with the 4 stops in the third period. So Dansk and Vladar share the shutout. The Flames 2-for-2 on the preseason docket on this Sunday night. They also take a 3-2 victory over the Vancouver Canucks in the other half of the split squad game, an overtime win. Michael Stone, overtime winner on the road in Vancouver. Flames Talk postgame available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. My name is Pat Steinberg, around the table with Peter Labardius and Derek Wills as we dive in to the preseason opener. And it is the first game of the preseason, so you always have to take that into account. But Lou certainly turned around as that second period rolled on. That 5-on-3 seemed to spark things, and saw some good things from the Flames in the final 38, 37 minutes of this hockey game.
Yeah, more so in the preseason. It's not about winning and losing. It's about whether it's individual evaluation, how guys are going to play together as far as chemistry is concerned. But yeah, absolutely no doubt about it that the 5-on-3 in which they scored on led to a second period where they scored three times, had 18 shots on goal, completely took over after what was, you know, kind of wade into the water first period. And the guy that we just had on the air, Derek, was excellent. Yeah, absolutely excellent.
He was terrific in the first period when the Flames needed him to be, and I agree with you. I think they kind of stuck their toe in the water in the first period. A bit of a feeling out process there, but dove in the second period. I think the power plays probably turned the game around. The Flames' top guys who were out there in the power play started feeling it. The timing, I think, came back a little bit as this game went on. And ultimately, special teams was the biggest difference in this hockey game. The Flames scored 3 power play goals and 7 opportunities and go a perfect 5-for-5 on the penalty kills. So a job well done on special teams. And quite often early in the preseason, that's not something that you'll hear any of us saying, because special teams can be kind of the last thing to come around, because it's so much about timing and you know, guys getting those reps in. But job well done by the Flames tonight, both in Vancouver. And if you haven't seen the highlight of that game-winning goal that Michael Stone scored, you might want to check it out, because a beautiful pass by Jacob Peltier to Matthew Phillips, who set up Michael Stone for his patented one-timer and a game-winner. So that game looked like it was a lot of fun as well.
We're focused on the 4-0 win here at the Scotiabank Saddledome, where the Flames score the 3 in the second period, had one more in the third en route to the victory. And guys, look, it's the first game of the preseason, and I think we're expecting big things from Jonathan Huberdeau, regardless if it's the first game of the preseason, first game of the regular season, or the first game of the postseason. But it was cool to see Jonathan Huberdeau score his first goal as a member of the Flames. He did so. It was an attempted highlight reel goal that didn't go right, and then he still had the awareness to finish it off. But just cool to see him not only score the goal, Derek, but he was involved. I think Lou used the word involved at some point in the second or third period when talking about Huberdeau, and yeah. he was around it. He was creating. He was, I think, you know, for a preseason debut, went about as good as expected for Calgary's $84 million man.
Well, I think he's one of the more creative players in the league, and I've got to give a number of Flames fans credit for also being creative and turning their old number 13 jerseys into Huberdeau jerseys with a little duct tape or hockey tape or whatever they put on there to cover up the first 4 letters of the guy's name who used to wear number 13, and have to get that 3 switch to a 10. But I think Lou hit the nail on the head. Just his involvement with and without the puck really impressed me. And he's bigger and stronger than I thought he was. And when you get to see a guy day in, day out, sometimes you see good things, sometimes you see bad things, but lots of good stuff from 10 in red tonight.
Well, let's continue the conversation. It's Pat Steinberg, Derek Wills, Peter Labardius, Flames Talk post-game show, and now Flames assistant coach Cale McLean joins us to continue to break down this 4-0 win preseason opener over the Vancouver Canucks. We were just talking about Jonathan Huberdeau, and you know, he had plenty of moments in this game in his preseason debut. Just when you watch him play, what sticks out to you about one of your newest offensive catalysts?
Well, you know, when you mention offense, you just how well he sees the ice. You can tell the wheels are really turning there before he gets the puck. He understands that, you know, a lot of people might see one option, but you can tell when Jonathan Huberdeau gets the puck, he knows there's a couple options, and he's just measuring which one's going to be the better one. And that is, you know, pretty talented hockey player in that respect. Real smooth hands, as you saw. A couple of his receptions tonight were pretty smooth in terms of passes that weren't exactly in his wheelhouse. He was able to gather, and you know, a guy that we're gonna push him to shoot pucks because he's got that shot too. So some good all around talent there.
Kale, overall, you're always interested, I would think, at this time of team play, some chemistry, and building on what this team did last year. Now, I'm not going to read too much, but what were your observations tonight of things that you quite liked in this game?
I think that in the second period, we picked up our shot volume, which is something we talk about a lot. We got more pucks on net, and you know, some of the goals that we created, even late in the goal, late in the game, Brett Sutter's goal was just the idea of like the puck's just got to get to the net. It's got to get on the net, and it's not a fancy recipe. But when we start to do that, not only is that opening up in a maybe a rebound opportunity, but it gets us into the possession game that we want to play. So we started to see some glimpses of that in terms of how we want to play in the offensive end. You know, some things I think we need to work on were, you know, we're very detailed in terms of how we want to play the defensive game. So I think that that's a portion of the game that, despite the score, we're going to be working away on that and make sure we got to keep tightening up in that respect. But liked some of the activity in terms of five-man killing plays and sort of just, I think, for our first exhibition game, I thought there were some good things going on up there.
Daryl Sutter has been preaching the importance of shot volume long before he arrived in Calgary for a second stint as the Flames head coach.
Yeah.
When you're trying to implement some new players onto your team, does it take a little bit of time to help them develop that habit of just funneling pucks to the net? Because maybe that's not the way their old team played.
Yep, it can be different for teams. And I think that it's important that we, you know, are all on the same page with how we want to play, because that creates that predictability. So you're exactly right in that it can be a bit of a learning curve in terms of how we want to play, and also understanding that our shot volume is something that we want to make sure that they're good quality shots, which requires that commitment to get to the net front, and it requires our structure in terms of the options that we have in the offensive zone or off of the line rush. So I think it's a bit of the mentality as well as the structure being built into it. And I think for guys coming from new to our team, I think it does take a little bit of time. And you saw tonight that there are moments when we did a good job with it, but first period we needed to get more pucks on net for sure.
Flames assistant coach Kale McLean with us post-game on your Flames Talk post-game show. Flames 4, Canucks nothing here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. In this game, you had a pair of PTO forwards in the lineup. Milano and Eakin. Cody scores the goal. Milano had a couple of decent opportunities. What did you make of those two who played a lot together on the same line tonight?
Yeah, I thought that Cody showed some of what he brings to the table in terms of, you know, utilizing that tenaciousness. He had some good stints penalty killing, which is, you know, I think a strength of his as well. And with Sonny, you can see he's got a lot of talent. Like, he's got a lot of talent with the puck. He can make things happen. And so those guys are trying to showcase those particular skills. What can Cody Eakin bring to us, you know, in the faceoff dot, in terms of penalty killing, in terms of playing a good speed game? And what can Sonny bring? I thought he brought some of it in terms of just the creation by both of them, obviously on the goal, but also in terms of their general play, there was some energy there. And I think that that's good because, you know, they're PTO tryouts, and they've got to bring it every game. If they want to crack the lineup, push someone else out of the way, then they're going to have to be really good at their respective trades.
Kale, whether it's tonight or what you've seen so far in the first few days of camp, what's impressed you about Mackenzie Weegar and how he plays the game?
Well, he's really involved in it. I think that's the one thing that you love to see. He's a guy that he's a competitor in terms of just how he wants to play the game. He's on his toes a lot and engaged that way. Saw some deception from him at different times over the course of this week, which as a defenseman is, you know, it's high end for defense in general, and that's such a great tool to be able to beat forecheckers just with the ability to look them off and to be able to feint different ways. So I think the exciting thing that we're seeing from Uyghur is he's a guy that really wants to be involved in the play. He's going to defend with a lot of commitment, but he's also going to, you know, play offense with, you know, being on his toes, being engaged, ready to pinch, ready to have tight gaps. And that's a real exciting thing to have a guy that's that into the game. I think you can see it right away that he's a pretty eager player, and he seems like a really good teammate.
Coaches are competitive. Players are competitive. You'd always rather win than lose, but I think you'd agree that in the preseason, the process is probably more important than the results. So if you could walk us through the process of your final six preseason games and a bunch of practice sessions sandwiched in between, and what are you trying to accomplish between now and October 13th?
Well, you know, for us, the big thing is we're trying to set our structure and the identity of how we play, and it's not a big secret. You guys know, like, we want to possess the puck and we want to create shot volume. That's a big factor for us. And the key is, as I mentioned, is, you know, as we establish that identity, within that is the structure offensively that's going to create good quality. And then a lot of work, as you know, is going to go into how we manage our defensive game. We take a lot of pride in that. It's the most important part of the game for us. And that goes right from, you know, how we forecheck, how we handle the neutral zone, how we defend in our zone. And that will come through via video, via practice, and a lot of repetition of, you know, common phrasing, make sure everyone's really on the same page. As we've talked about, the new guys coming in, it's not that complicated, but, you know, there's a lot of attention to the detail that is in there.
Appreciate the time, as always, Kale. Thanks so much. Good to have you back in the Hot Stove Lounge.
Absolutely. Yes. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Kale McLean, Flames assistant coach, joining us post-game here following a 4-0 Flames win over the Vancouver Canucks here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Flames perfect 2-for-2 to start the preseason. They also take a 3-2 overtime win on the road in Vancouver. A little split squad action here on a Sunday night to open up the 2022 preseason. Flames talk Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon with Labardius, Wills, and Stein. Let's keep rolling. Marquee matchup for Country Hills Toyota tonight was a focus on Mackenzie Uyghur. Lou, you just asked Kale a question about number 52 in his preseason debut with the Flames. I guess partially what you made of him tonight, but just overall maybe a reset on what we talked about pregame tonight.
Well, I just think that, listen, obviously, there was a lot of attention on Jonathan Huberdeau, and I think if you were at the game tonight or watched the game, you're going to learn to love this guy pretty fast. And you know, we won't see Kadri until late, and that's going to be an amazing addition for this team and how strong they are down the middle. But I really thought going into the season, even when we didn't know what the fate was going to be of Gaudreau or Tkachuk, that the Oilers series this spring, I thought they needed to upgrade their top four on defense. I just thought, you know, that was a tough area, and obviously I couldn't completely evaluate it the way you would have wanted to, because you would have wanted a healthy Chris Tanev to play, and I think that made a massive difference. Yep. But even with that, you know, you started to maybe understand even more what Daryl talks about in terms of, you know, it wasn't easy in the playoffs in that series, even for Anderson and Hanifin. It was a great learning experience. So to have Uyghur, everything he brings, the way he skates, and I loved how Kale described it. He wants to be involved. And whether, you know, it's not just his puck play, how he uses his skating ability to close gaps and get up on people. And so this guy's a good hot, you know. Obviously, the other two guys would be the sexy picks, but this guy, you're going to win more games because you have this guy. Well, you're going to win more games because you have all three, but I just think that was one area in particular where if you want to compete with the Edmonton Oilers and some of the other teams in the Pacific and the road goes that way, I think that was just a marvelous addition.
Well, and Daryl Sutter, for a good chunk of last season, talked about how, you know, he had his top three on defense, and then there was a drop-off to the bottom three or four. When you bring in a guy like Mackenzie Weegar, who I know a lot of people think will be the Flames' best defenseman, which says a lot, because they had an elite pairing with Noah Hanifin and Rasmus Anderson in the regular season. You know, Chris Tanev defends as well as anybody in the league. So to say that Weegar could be better than all of them, or different at least, I think that says a lot. But Jonathan Huberdeau's an interesting one for me, because everybody wants to compare Huberdeau to Gaudreau. And there are certainly some similarities there. Two of the best playmakers in the league. But they go about their business in very different ways. I would say that Johnny is more dynamic than Jonathan, where Jonathan's more cerebral than Johnny. And we just heard Cale MacLean talking about it, how when he's got the puck on his stick, he's trying to think, okay, I've got two or three plays here. Which is the best one to make? So it's going to be an adjustment for sure, going from having a playmaker like Gaudreau to a playmaker like Huberdeau. But the one thing that really jumped out to me tonight wasn't the goal that he scored. It was how involved he was away from the puck. The way he played without the puck tonight, and this is as big a compliment as I can give the guy, reminds me of the way Elias Lindholm plays without the puck. Retrievals. You always talk about the importance of retrievals, Lou. Now you've got another big, strong guy who can go in there and win a puck battle on the end boards or in the corner or in front of the net. And we saw Huberdeau put himself in those positions so many times tonight, and he's just got the size and the strength to win more than his fair share of battles. So I'm anxious to see how that top line comes together. I think it's probably safe to say that Lindholm's going to center Huberdeau. We don't yet know who's going to play on the right side of that line. Tonight it was Toffoli, but I think that top line, as great as it was last year, I think it was the best line in the league last year. I think it's going to be different this year, and I think it could be better this year, but it's going to be fun to watch it all come together and play out.
Well, the one area, and not just one, but the one that really will stick out for me, and I even saw it tonight, I think Jonathan Huberdeau is going to make a huge difference on the power play, and for exactly the type of reasons that you talked about. I think Jonathan is a better playmaker on the power play than what Johnny Gaudreau is. Johnny's best plays generally don't come in that standing still
static,
power play static position. It usually comes from something off the rush that kind of develops, I can't think of the proper word, but like he's really, really good that way. This guy, I think, is going to give you more off the flank. I think he's going to give you better retrievals. And I think those two things, like this guy is, for me, he is an elite playmaker. Mm-hmm. Not to say the other guy wasn't. This is different, though, for me, personally.
And when you've got a guy who can one-time the puck like Lindholm can, think about that combination. Right? If you have a guy who, from the half boards, can sit there and just feather a perfect pass onto your stick in the slot. And Lindholm is great at finding those soft spots and getting the puck off his stick in a hurry. That could be a pretty deadly duo. Now, again, all due respect to the three guys who played together last year, they were fantastic. So they've got big shoes to fill, so to speak, but I think they've got a chance to do it, which is exciting for the Flames and for their fans.
4-0 the final score here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Flames blank the Vancouver Canucks. Preseason is open. Flames also win the other half of the split squad game 3-2 in overtime on the road at Rogers Arena. One of the stars of the game here at the Dome, no questions asked, was the goaltender. Dan Vladar gets the start in net. He played 40 minutes, and he was very good in those two periods of work. It's time for tonight's save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. And Dan Vladar delivers that save of the game in period number two.
Here's a centering pass, and Vladar stretches out and makes a miraculous left pad save, taking a goal away from Klimovich.
That is one of the 15 saves as he faced 15 shots through two periods, made them all, and that is one of those 15 for Dan Vladar tonight, and that's your save of the game brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kids Sport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. We spoke to Dan a few minutes ago post-game, saw some work early, got 9 shots in that first period, a couple of really quality looks for Vancouver, so got into it early. Hey, look, that's a pretty solid preseason opener for one of Calgary's two goaltenders this year. That has to feel good if you're number 80 for the Flames.
Yeah, it's funny. His Shane Holmes' save of the game came in the second period, but I thought his best work was in the first period when he made, I think, 3 10-bell saves to keep the game scoreless. So, yeah, a terrific job by Dan Vladar. It's hard not to cheer for the kid because he's such a humble guy and, you know, puts in the work off the ice, puts in the work on the ice. And I'm anxious to see how the Flames utilize him this year because I think back to that playoff series against the Oilers and it kind of felt like Jay Woodcroft was firing shots across the bow at Daryl Sutter, talking about how Mike Smith was fresh because he didn't really play all that much in the regular season, didn't play 63 games, which just happened to be the number that Jacob Markstrom did play in the regular season. But Dan Vladar was, in a lot of ways, an unknown quantity to start last season. He had played in 5 career NHL games prior to last season with the Bruins. So last season, he ends up playing in 23 games. I wonder if that number gets closer to 30 this season. Ultimately, I think it's, and you said this during the broadcast, Lou, I think it's up to Dan Vladar. If when he's given an opportunity to play, he plays well and gives the Flames a chance to win, I think he's going to continue to build trust in his teammates and in his coaching staff. And if they can take a little bit off the plate of Jacob Markstrom to even just eliminate that question, I'm not even saying it was a factor in the playoffs.
I don't think it was any factor at all, personally.
But it was a question, right? You can eliminate that question and leave no doubts if you give your number two guy more games. And I think Vladar is trying to set himself up to play more games. Ultimately, we're not going to find out what their plan is until the regular season, and then difficult to find out then. Daryl Sutter doesn't like to share all that much with us when it comes to starting goaltenders and what they've got penciled into the schedule. But, you know, Dan Vladar's still a young goaltender at 25 years old. He's an up-and-comer, coming off what I think was a really strong first full season in the NHL. I think kid's going to play more this year.
Yeah, I'll be interested. It's not a conversation I like at any time of the year, let alone September the 25th. I hope that's the case, just because it would mean that, you know, Daniel Vladar has taken another step. But if I had to really guess, I don't think you're going to see much different than what you saw a year ago. I mean, you're paying this guy $6 million. He's one of the best guys in the league. You're going to play him. You know, you're going to be smart with him, but they're always smart with him.
Well, the other thing I wonder about, two things, and you can look at it from both sides of it. Last year, the schedule was condensed because there were supposed to be a 3-week break.
Mm-hmm.
This year, the schedule isn't as condensed. Now, on the flip side, Flames played 9 of their first 10 games at home, which means a lot of road games after that. So I guess depending on which side of the fence you're on with that argument, maybe they don't have to play, or maybe they don't have to worry about playing Markstrom in 63 games again, or maybe they do. But ultimately, Vladar is going to try to steal as many games as he can.
And that would be a great problem to have if you feel like that's going to be the case. But, you know, if Jacob Markstrom, barring all kinds of different things, I'd be shocked if he didn't play 60 times.
Well, I know this much. Vladar looked really good tonight.
He was terrific.
Really, really solid preseason opener.
Terrific.
15 of 15. Gets his first 40 in. We'll see him again before the start of the preseason. Before the end of the preseason, rather. We'll see him plenty more times between now and the end of the preseason.
How many times are we going to see him early in the regular season is another question that's kind of been bouncing around my head. Because as I mentioned, 9 of the first 10 are at home, and most of Dan Vladar's starts came on the road last year. So are we going to see Jacob Markstrom in 9 home games to start the season, or is Dan Vladar going to work his way into 1 or 2 or 3 of those games? I'm kind of fascinated to see how it plays out. And, you know, as much as I say, you know, Dan Vladar is going to try to steal some starts from Jacob Markstrom, there's another factor. Where's the team at? How's the team playing in front of the goaltender? Do they feel like they have to lean heavier on their number one guy because they're not happy with the way the 18 skaters are playing? Where are they in the standings? Does every point feel like a must-have point? There are so many different factors when it comes to who's getting starts in goal, how guys are feeling, the schedule. I mean, there are so many factors. So trying to figure it out, it's beyond me, that's for sure.
Flames talk postgame continues. 4-0 Flames over the Vancouver Canucks to kick off the preseason here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Typically, this would be when we do our hardest working Flame, but for the coming season, 2022-23, the hardest working Flame is now the player with heart, brought to you by our friends at Heart Fit Clinic. That honor remains with the color voice of the Calgary Flames, Peter Labardius, who is tonight's player with heart.
Well, it's slightly different, but I'm going to pick it most nights, very much based on the way I've been picking it for the last number of years. Honorable mention, and there were many, but honorable mention, I really like Blake Coleman's game tonight. I mean, it's, you know, you don't want to judge. I don't need to even evaluate what he does on a nightly basis, but he very likely benefited, and he said as much yesterday when we asked him about having a summer to get his body after two long runs the Stanley Cup, you know, and everything else. There's been a lot going on in his life, too, on top of just hockey and moves and family and all of that stuff. So I really liked him. Probably, if you'd have said to me, Rasmus Anderson is going to play almost 26 minutes tonight, I don't know if I would have seen that coming. And as far as playing with heart, you know, he took two shots in the mouth. He was shaken up. He played 25-plus. He had an assist. And my guess is Darryl has already referenced on a couple of cases, you know, to win and to try to continue to build towards having a championship-type team on defense, you need minute munchers. And, you know, tonight for even him might be part of just another minute or so than maybe he had a year ago in terms of allowing him to feel more comfortable handling that.
Can I give honorable mention?
Sure.
Brett Sutter. So the middle child of Darryl and Wanda, and over 1,000 professional games played, reached that milestone last season, signs a one-year contract during the offseason to return to Calgary. The Flames drafted him way back when. Tonight had a game-high 6 shots on goal, had a team-high 4 hits, scored a goal. It must have been a cool moment for him, being back in a Flames jersey, his dad behind the bench. I don't know if his mom and his sister and his brother were here tonight.
They were.
Pretty cool story, and I suspect he'll probably be the captain of the Calgary Wranglers, and a great example for all the young players and all the Flames prospects that will be playing out of this building this season. So great to see Brett back in Calgary, and I thought he played an effective game tonight.
And Rasmus Anderson is our player with heart in this one this evening. The player with heart brought to you by HeartFit Clinic. For HeartFit assessments and proven treatments not available at your doctor's office, visit heartfit.com. .ca. As we start to wrap up with Lou and Derek, I'll let you know the phone lines are open. Preseason chance to chat.
You're taking calls tonight?
We did all last preseason, too.
Oh, did we?
Yeah. He
did.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
But, Pat, I brought you some fresh Grill Guide cookies, so you can munch on those while you're hosting.
They're probably poisonous at this point. Those are about 12 months old, so I'm probably just going to skip
those.
Oh,
here, have two.
403-240-4444. If you watched either of the game, got any questions about the lineup, whatever you want to talk about, all things Flames on the table, on the phone lines, 403-240-4444. Text line as well, 960-960. Get your thoughts in. Flames Talk post-game show will continue with your thoughts as we roll on. But, gentlemen, you know, you take a look at the lineups in this one this evening. Jeremy Poirier got some time. We saw Connor Zary. They're the two PTOs of Milano and Eakin. Just curious if anybody else that we haven't talked about tonight, maybe some of the guys that we haven't talked a ton about, if anybody popped for either of you guys, Lou.
One guy did that we haven't talked about, and it's in kind of an important spot. Didn't pop in the way that, you know, he did anything spectacular. I like Connor Mackey's game tonight. Mm-hmm. Thought it was quietly effective, solid, good reads, looked more composed. I liked his game tonight.
I liked Dylan Dubé, especially early in the game. I thought he was outstanding early, had great jump, finished first in fitness testing for the second straight season. And I think a number of us who cover the team have been predicting a breakout season for Dylan Dubé. And in a way, last season was. He had a career-high 18 goals, 14 assists, and 32 points in 79 games. But I think his ceiling is even higher. I think the guy is going to score 20. I think he's going to do it a number of times. And we have a pretty good idea of who the Flames forwards are going to be, barring injury. We don't know who's going to play with who. We don't know who is going to play on the right side of the first line. We don't, in turn, know who's going to be playing on the second and third lines. Probably a better idea of what the fourth line is going to look like. But Dylan Dubé is a guy who, if he continues to take steps forward, I think is going to play a more important role with his team. And, Lou, you said it on the broadcast tonight. He seemed to pick up steam as last season went on. So you just kind of wonder if he can pick up where he left off and take another big step forward in his career. He's got all the tools, as Daryl Sutter pointed out a number of times last year. When the stage is bright, he tends to play his best hockey. I really liked him early in tonight's game, and he's definitely a guy I'm wondering about as we try to put together the top three lines on this team between now and October 13th, wondering where he's going to kind of settle in to start the season. And a strong preseason might land him in the top six. Who knows?
All right, gentlemen. 1 and 2 preseason games of 8 in the books. We're back at it Tuesday against the Seattle Kraken. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday night, boys. Be well.
Good night, Pat.
Good night, Mr. Steinberg.
Derek Wills and Peter Labardia signing off on this Sunday night following a Flames 4-0 win. That's the game that we covered over the Vancouver Canucks here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. There was also a 3-2 Flames overtime win on the road against the Canucks on the other half of the split squad game. Michael Stone scored the overtime winner in that game. But the game that we watched and broadcasted was this game, 4-0 Flames over the Vancouver Canucks. And Jonathan Huberdeau was a big part of it. He scored the game-winning goal at 3:11, and he was just involved. He was offensively involved. He was creative. He was one of the best players, if not the best player on the ice in game one of the preseason, and that's pretty exciting if you're a Flames fan. It's only the preseason, but still pretty exciting. Let's hear from Jonathan Huberdeau, the number one star of this game this evening, as he spoke to the media following tonight's 4-0 win.
To feel like at this stage, you've been through a number of games, but are you starting to feel personally like you're getting to where you want, either conditioning or just kind of systems or expectations?
Yeah, I thought I was good. Obviously, the altitude here is it's much harder. You can feel it, and I mean, obviously, I'm gonna get used to it. But obviously, I'm used to training camp, but this year is different. Obviously, new team, and I was comfortable in Florida, and here it's different, and it's been a lot of fun so far. Great group of guys, and we're just going to go forward from here.
Elias Lindholm a couple of days ago mentioned that it has been a bit tough to establish chemistry with just some of the drills you've been doing the last few days. I can imagine playing in games actually helps, but what do you two need to do in order to get at a point where your chemistry is at a point where you know you can play together?
Yeah, I mean, just keep things simple early. I mean, it's the first game, and he's just going to get better from now on. And obviously, it wasn't my best game, so I think I just got to be better, and I think we're all going to get better as a line. I think, first game, you got some rust, and from the summer, I think we're going to build chemistry over next practices. We're going to have some more games, too, so it's going to be good.
I know it doesn't necessarily count for much, but was it cool to introduce yourself, the goal? First game here.
Yeah, I mean, I got a little lucky on that goal, but it's always fun to find the back of the net, even in preseason. And I think, I want to be better. I want to be a really good player on this team, and I think I just got to keep climbing and keep working hard.
A couple of chances there, but power play, you don't have much time to work on it at this point in training camp, but is that all just kind of a feel and instinct thing at this point?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was wasn't pretty on the power play, but first game, so I think we gotta, stay calm, and I think it's gonna get better. And obviously, we gotta, like I said, keep things simple, shoot a little bit more early, and we're just gonna work on it a little bit more too.
Coming from Florida, you mentioned the altitude. When during a game like this would you notice it? Like, how would it hit you?
when you get the win in the third shift of the game. I think that makes a difference. So I think it's good. Yeah, I think it's good for at home. It's a home advantage, and I think when you go on the road, the guys are saying, you know, it's good for you. You feel better. So I'm just gonna get used to it. I just gotta, you know, obviously not used to be here, and like I said, we still got 2 weeks training camp, so it's gonna be good for first game of the season.
Is that something you've asked the guys about or talked to the guys about? You mentioned they said it's easier when you get hit the road.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, I asked them. I mean, the first day I came here, I was skating. I was tired the first couple of minutes. And I was like, well, it's different here. But I think it's just good. You just got get used to it. And I think after, it's all good.
Where have you generally played on the power play? Are you on the half wall? Or are you on the point?
Is Cody behind you as well?
Yeah, I think I'm usually on my off wing. On the half wall. That's what I used to. But we'll see how we're going to be. I mean, we've got a lot of good players on this team. So we'll see how it's going
to
be.
Is that just a spot where you can kind of open your body and open your stick to just serve and scan and stuff out there?
Yeah, I feel like I can see better from this angle. I'm not a guy that has a big one-timer, so I think I see it better. I can shoot the puck a little bit more there and obviously find some options. So.
How about on the entries? Is there a role that you like to have with the power play in that sense?
Yeah, kind of on the wall there. I like being there. I think you got some guys that can, you know, enter the zone pretty easily. So, I mean, I just here to kick out, and after I can make my play.
That is Jonathan Huberdeau in conversation post-game following his preseason debut as a member of the Calgary Flames. Scores a goal at 3:11 on a 5-on-3 to make it 1-0 Flames, which would end up being the game winner in a 4-0 victory over the Vancouver Canucks. Flames are 2-for-2 on their preseason schedule. They played 2 on this Sunday. They beat the Canucks 3-2 in overtime in Vancouver, and they beat them 4-0 here tonight at the Scotiabank Saddle. Continuing along, following a 4-0 Flames victory over the Vancouver Canucks here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. That's the game that we're mostly focused on, but it was a split squad Sunday. Flames win the home half and the road half because Michael Stone scored the overtime winner in a 3-2 victory on the road in Vancouver as well. So the Flames are 2-0 in the 2022 preseason, yet they only played on the one night. That's how the split squad games work. It's Steinberg along with you from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome in the Hot Stove Lounge. Flames Talk postgame as part of your Flames Talk podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, the phone lines are open. Preseason, regular season, playoffs, doesn't matter. Flames Talk is partly your show as well. 403-240-4444 if you're listening live, or text at 960-960. Get to you in just a minute, but before we do that, let's hear from the head coach, Daryl Sutter. We heard him live earlier, but not on the podcast, so I want to make sure that you get an opportunity to hear from the head coach. Daryl Sutter spoke following his team's 4-0 win over Vancouver, including a Brett Sutter goal. Sun scores a goal late in the third period to make it 4-0. Here's the head coach post-game tonight.
What was that moment like at the end of the game for you to be on the bench and see live as unscored one?
We scored here before.
But to be on the bench for it, would it make any difference for you?
No. We've been doing it for 50 years, all of us, so. Not much difference, maybe even more. One of us. So.
How about that top line? Some chemistry building there tonight?
Not really. I think it was a typical preseason start. Just it's kind of a sluggish deal. But first, we got better as it went along. They did too.
Anyone stand out for you?
Oh, I think it's, you know, the veteran guys. They're trying to work on their game as they go along, and then there's guys that are trying to prove themselves, right? So I'm glad Vladdy and Oscar, you know, supporting. They get off to good starts. Important, you know, Vladdy had a good training camp last year, gained some confidence in his game, so that's good for him, and it's good for Oscar coming over to get a good period under his belt.
What did you think of Jeremy Poirier's play? Got a lot of power plays.
It's good with the puck. Got lots of work to do.
I know it's early, but Huberdeau scored from the exact spot that Tkachuk used to score a lot of goals. Do you see him playing a similar role down low, or is he going to be on the wall? Is he going to be
power play?
Yeah, on the point.
Yeah, I don't think that's his natural spot. But you know, until we get a full lineup, it's those, those guys are just, they'll work their way into it.
Sorry to follow up on the last question. When you say Poirier has a lot of work to do, what does he need to do?
Sticks, angles, checking important parts of the game.
What sort of happens at, like, after split squads? How do you go back and sort of do you go watch video of the game in Vancouver?
We watch the first period live, and then sort of look at some of it tomorrow. But that's why Kirk and Ryan are there too.
During the intermission, it was playing live on the Jumbotron, the overtime goal. Did you get to watch it live?
I watched the first period, and that was it. So first period is not overtime.
There you go. Head coach Daryl Sutter post-game following tonight's split squad games. 4-0, the game that he coached here at the Dome. 3-2 in overtime. Kirk Muller and Ryan Huska ran the bench at Rogers Arena in Vancouver for that overtime victory and a perfect 2-for-2 night for the Flames this preseason. Pat Steinberg with you as our Flames Talk post-game show rolls on. Available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Get to the text line at 96960. A few responses on the text line. Thought Poirier was really good tonight, especially towards the second half of the game. Yeah, I thought he had the one rough moment. I don't remember if it was on the power play. No, I don't think it was a power play. It was just a regular 5-on-5 shift. Threw a bit of a hand grenade over to his defense partner Colton Pullman, and it ended up being that Pullman gave up the opportunity, which ended up being a clear-cut breakaway for Vancouver. Pullman was the one that kind of, I guess, would be charged with the giveaway, but there wasn't much he could do. It was probably a poorly timed pass from Poirier to Pullman. So, you know, Poirier's pass kind of put his D partner in a bad spot. D partner didn't have much of a choice but to cough it up, led to a breakaway, didn't score. So no harm, no foul. But otherwise, I thought that was the only real blemish on the night. I thought actually Poirier had some really nice moments in this game. Skated well, definitely on the power play. He got the opportunities, and you can see why he has been such a productive player in junior. Yeah, I thought he actually had some pop tonight. I enjoyed watching him, and getting an NHL preseason opportunity was pretty cool. This person watched both games. Emilio Pettersson, Matthew Phillips, and Adam Klapka were memorable tonight in Vancouver. Poirier, Zeri, Coleman stood out for me in Calgary. Lou mentioned Coleman a lot earlier in our post-game show, and yeah, I thought he had lots of jump. That line with him, Backlund, and Dubé really strong in this one tonight. I didn't mind Zeri, especially in the front half of the game. I thought Zeri had some really, really solid moments, and I thought that he was much like what I saw from him in Penticton, where it looked like he had taken a step forward, saw those same things from him. He looks like a more confident, looks like a stronger, looks like a more mature player. Now, let's not forget that Zeri didn't get a preseason or a training camp last year because he busted his ankle, sustained the high ankle sprain early in rookie camp last year, wiped out his entire first main NHL training camp and preseason, didn't get to join the Stockton Heat until much later on. So this is his first real training camp in the NHL, so that was nice to see. Good for Connor. Thought he had himself a pretty solid game, all things continued as well. Text line remains open at 96960. Phone lines remain open and are open to you at 403-240-4444. If you want to chat some Flames lineup or whatever you want to talk about after the preseason openers, you can do so on the phone lines right now. Let's say hello to George on the Flames Talk post-game show. Hey, look, it's the preseason. We got to start it off with our boy George. What's kicking, buddy?
Not much, Patty. How are you doing, my friend? How was your summer?
It was a summer, my friend. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Awesome, man. That's great to hear. Wow, watch your preseason hockey. It's funny how you get excited about even those preseason games. But I don't know. It felt like a longer summer for me for some reason. But I'm going to ask you straight off the bat. This pertains to kind of Penticton and also pertains to more of the rookies. But what have you thought of this Adam Klapka so far, and where did they find this guy?
Well, they signed him. They signed him in the summertime out of the Czech Republic. He's a really interesting. He's a really interesting player because they signed him technically out of the Czech League where he played last year, but he has North American experience under his belt. He played parts of two seasons, including a full season with Tri-City in the USHL before that. So I'm not sure when he first popped onto their radar. Could very well have been during the 2021 season in Tri-City, where he played 49 games that year, or maybe they did. Maybe he did pop onto their radar while he was playing last season in the Czech Republic. But yeah, they signed him in the offseason, kind of early in the summer, if I remember correctly. And he's just like for lack of a better word, the guy's an absolute beast. 6'8", 250 pounds almost. He is not afraid to use that frame. It doesn't feel like he's 22 years old, so I still think there's part like he's still growing in and getting used to that frame. But basically what I saw from him in Penticton was a really confident player who's skilled, and against that opposition I didn't feel like Klapka had his skating be a big detriment at all. He was definitely a skilled player. You can see that he's got way more skill than most players that size have. So, yeah, I've liked him. I'm really curious as to what he does this year with the Wranglers. Like, I don't think we're talking about him as an NHL guy to start the year or anything like that, but he's probably destined for Stockton. By that, I mean he's probably destined for the Wranglers, and I'm really curious what he can do playing pro hockey in North America for the first time. He's got the size. He's got some nice skill. He got in a fight in the game against Vancouver, which I don't think is his forte, but he's definitely doing everything he can to make an impression. I'm really curious about him, Georgie. I really am.
Curious is the exact word. And I watched all the Penticton games, and I had a split screen going, so I watched the Vancouver one as much as I could too. And in the overtime, the guy had a breakaway. I can't believe how he can move that size. Like, I know he's not the quickest skater, but he skates a lot. Like, he's way more mobile than I've seen a guy at that size in quite a while. Like, he's a very curious project to me. I've been very impressed with what I've seen, so I'm with you there.
And he's a right shot, too. They're lacking right shot wingers, so that's important, too. So I'm curious to see how this progresses over the next year or two.
100%. And I'm with you on Connor Zary. I've been really impressed. I know, again, it's rookie games and the preseason game, but I've been really impressed by him. I know he had a lot of injury, bad injury luck last year, but it seems like he's taken quite the leap. And I really think it's a matter of if not when he'll be an NHL player. What, in your estimation, and I know it's really early to say, but what do you think his NHL ETA would be, this kid?
We're talking about Zary?
Yes, Zary.
That's what I thought. I still think that we're probably talking a few years. And I only say that because Flames are pretty deep right now down the middle. Now, that's not to say that Zary couldn't pop as a winger, but I think that we're talking about, if I were to venture a guess, I'd say a couple of years. I'd say, you know, full-time NHLer, if he gets there. I don't think will be this season. I don't think it'll be next season. And I think you can always start to work your way in, but I don't think you want this guy playing number four center minutes. It's kind of the similar conversation with Ruzicka right now. Like, does Adam Ruzicka have a spot on this team this year? I honestly don't know, because do you want him playing 4C minutes behind Backlund, Kadri, and Lindholm? Probably not, when you can have him playing 1C minutes with the Wranglers. So I think the argument's very similar for Zary. I'm with you. I think he's really popped for me. He popped for me in Penticton, was one of their better players, and I thought had a nice game tonight against the Canucks. So, yeah, I would, if I were to venture a guess, I'd say 2 years. That's, now there's always trades and injuries and all that type of stuff, but that would be that would be where I would lean right now, and there's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with having guys stay in the American League longer than we're used to get ready, to ripen, and when they make that jump to the NHL, be fully ready. Like, there's nothing wrong with that in my eyes.
Nice, my man. Final question for you, and I'll let you go, but if who do you think has a better chance of making this team out of the PTO guys right now, Eakin or Milano?
Milano.
Yeah, I think so too. Although Eakin, I actually liked Eakin tonight. I really did. I thought he was good tonight. That's all I got for you, Patty. Man, it's a pleasure to hear your voice again, to talk to you. I look forward to chatting all things Flames this season with you, my friend.
You've got your outlet right here on the Flames Talk postgame. Thank you, George. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great night.
Phone lines are open following a 4-0 win. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast. Steinberg with you. Let's welcome Carson on the postgame show. What's up, Carson?
Hey, Pat. How are you doing? You ready to experience, go through all this again?
So I can barely, you're really muffled. I can tell you're driving. You're really muffled. I didn't catch the last part of what you said there.
My apologies. Can you hear me now?
Yo, now you sound clear as a bell. And now you're gone. Carson called back. He was clear, and then he hung up. So if Carson would like to call back, he can do so in the time being, or in the meantime, rather. Let's welcome Warren. Warren, you're on Flames Talk postgame. What's up, buddy?
Hey, you know what, two games in, you know what, it's until you can actually see, and then that's kind of where I come from, actually seeing, you know, let's say 10 games in to see what is really out there and what is been produced and who finishes, you know, on the top 19 forwards that are going to be our top 19 players that are going to be on the ice on a regular basis. You know what, we subtracted some good pieces, but we added, I believe, even the better pieces, including the back end. I've watched Uyghur quite a bit in Florida. But just based on, the Wranglers being close to home here for the Flames is really going to help in development of some of these players. That's key. I watched some of their skates out at the Seven Chiefs Arena, and they look like they're going to piece it together pretty good. We're going to have a good season just based on what little I have seen. But like I say, it's going to take 10, 15 games in before you really see the true four-line projections and productions of what Calgary has put together. I mean, I don't mind too much what they lost in the offseason. That's just, we move on. We've lost some good players in the past. The Aginlas, Neuendijks, Roberts, all those. So we rebound pretty good as a Flames club. So that's what I am anticipating. I can't really give a good read until I see a little bit more. And hopefully I will catch a little bit more. And you guys' broadcast sure help a lot.
Well, I appreciate that, Warren. You have yourself a great night. Thank you for the call. And I mean, the one thing that I'd pick up on there is just the fact that it's going to take some time here. I don't know that for sure. It could take some time here for things to really gel and for the Flames to really hit their stride. If they're not going great guns in October and November, and it's a little bit of a work in progress, that's not to say they'll be bad, but they're maybe not at full stride. I don't think that that's necessarily going to be the most surprising thing in the world, because there are so many new faces, there's so much in and out, and while they have a preseason and training camp to get ready, you know, sometimes it takes longer than that to figure out exactly who plays best with who and what line combinations work better. So, you know, if Daryl Sutter is still, I don't want to say experimenting, but if Daryl Sutter is still working through some things as we move into November or December, I don't think that's necessarily a massive surprise. I think what's most important is that they do find their stride in the second half of the season, and I think there's a decent chance, a strong chance, that this team is better equipped come playoff time to do more damage. And more importantly, the way things are trending right now, I think they're better equipped or have a good chance at being better equipped to have more success against the Edmonton Oilers. And that seems to be what this division is going to look like. If you're going to get out of the Pacific, you're probably going to have to beat the Oilers for the next number of years. We don't know what Vegas is. Vancouver's still building. I don't know what Los Angeles is. Anaheim, Seattle, and San Jose seem a long way away. Right now, I'm confident about two teams making the playoffs. I'm confident about Calgary, and I'm confident about Edmonton. And if that confidence is well-founded, then there's a decent chance these two teams meet in the playoffs. And we know how it went in May when that happened. It went the wrong way for this team in this city. So with the moves that have been made, with how I believe they're more well-rounded, and overall there's just more depth up and down the roster than there was to end last year, I believe that if they were to meet again this year, the Flames, if
relatively healthy, have a pretty good chance of giving the Oilers a better run for their money and pushing it beyond five games, which is all it went in May of this year. Flames Talk postgame rolls on. Our Alberta-made player of the game tonight, brought to you by Wild Rose Brewery, was Connor Zeri, his first official NHL preseason game. Tonight, the 2020 first-round pick, played 13 minutes and 30 seconds, had one shot, two giveaways, went 3-for-7 in the faceoff dot. Connor Zeri was our Alberta-made player of the game. Game that we are focused on was a 4-0 victory for the Flames over the Vancouver Canucks in one half of a split squad game with Vancouver. It is time for your red hot replay from tonight's game here at the Scotiabank Saddledome, making his preseason debut. He's Calgary's $84 million man. This one was pretty easy. Our red hot replay came at 3:11 of period number two.
In tight, Huberdeau trying to go backhand to forehand. They score! Five-on-three power play and hit Hader. Jonathan Huberdeau in his Flames debut banks the puck into the Canucks net, and it is 1-0 Flames.
So Jonathan Huberdeau, in his preseason debut, scores a 5-on-3 power play goal in front of the home crowd, and he helps the Flames to the 4-0 victory. That is the red-hot replay, first of all, delivered by Jonathan Huberdeau. That's one half of the split squad game. How about the other half of the split squad game, where the Flames had a 2-0 lead after 40 minutes of play, as in that game, Mitch McLean scored a goal for the Flames in the first period, and then Ben Jones, all of a sudden the summary has disappeared on me, so I had to go off memory. Ben Jones scored a goal in the second period, and the Flames had a 2-0 lead after 40 minutes of play. But Vancouver comes back, Vasily Podkolzin, and then with about 90 seconds to go, Connor Garland, see, off memory. Connor Garland tied the game for Vancouver, sent this game to overtime, tied at two. Flames go to the power play in overtime. We get a little bonus red hot replay thanks to our sister station, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver.
Phillips, again to Pelche. They'll switch places. Jacob Pelche, Matthew Phillips, right circle to the back door. Michael Stone scores! And that'll do it. A nice one-timer from the left circle by Michael Stone. Beats Archer Seelovs on the stick side. And the Flames get the overtime winner and take it tonight in Vancouver by a final score of 3-2.
How about the PTO? Is Michael Stone scores an overtime winner. Cody Eakin scores in the game here at the Dome as well. So two of the three Flames PTOs getting on the scoreboard in as part of this split squad game as well. Daryl Sutter coached the game. He was the man running the bench here in Calgary. It was Kirk Muller, the associate coach of the Calgary Flames, who ran the bench on the road in Vancouver. Let's hear from Kirk post-game following Calgary's 3-2 overtime win over the Canucks.
Yeah, well, the PK was strong, you know, because, you know, they got a good power play with some of their personnel that's going to be there this year. And, you know, of course, Wolfie was our best PK, and that's usually what happens, you know, when you have success. So, and power play-wise, you know, it's just guys moving around, and we had the shots, just didn't have the results, but it's when you score, so it was a big goal for our group. A
couple of guys that most people may not have heard of in Mitch McLean and Ben Jones scoring in regulation for you. What did you see out of them today?
Yeah, well, it was great. You know, like we just said, you know, real simple before the game, it's an opportunity for everybody to practice, but in games you got to show your, you know, what you can do. And, you know, they didn't get much ice time early on, but they took advantage of what they had tonight and capitalized. So, you know, being new guys, it was nice to see that they, you know, they contributed, and it's a good way of, you know, feeling a part of it.
And Dustin Wolf obviously made such a name for himself in the AHL last year. What do you think of how he played tonight?
Well, he was, you know, he made some major big saves and at, you know, crucial times. So he looked sharp. You know, he played well. He made the plays at the right time. So very impressive with his performance tonight.
Are you happy with the overtime, you know, with the guys' performance in that as well?
Yeah, I mean, for guys not... Well, I shouldn't say, you know, other than Stoner, those guys, you know, have played together down in Stockton and that, and they have some good chemistry. So that helps, you know. And so they got a little, they're good hockey players, and they stayed with it. So, you know, they got a big goal, and I think it's a nice little boost for those guys.
That is Kirk Muller, postgame associate coach of the Calgary Flames. He ran the bench for Calgary's win on the road in Vancouver, 3-2 in overtime. Michael Stone scoring the winner. Daryl Sutter ran the bench here at the Dome for a 4-0 win. So the Flames win both halves of the split squad game, 3-2 in overtime and 4-0 in a shutout here as Dan Vladar and Oscar Dansk split a 19-save shutout. Vladar making 15 of those saves. Last call on the phone lines if you want to chat tonight, 403-240-4444. No pressure, but just thought I'd throw it out there if you want to. We do have some text to get to and 960-960. This from Stu says, Patty, over under 35 goals for Mangiapane this season. I feel like we've been getting close the last few seasons, but the window's a bright one for this organization. Optimism's high. I hope Eakin makes the squad. Dude's got over 700 career games, and I hope Vladar gets a bit more time this season. Would be good for Markstrom in the long run. Go Flames, go. We talked a little bit about that earlier here on the Flames Talk post-game show. I don't know. Do I think that there's a chance that Vladar sees more time this year? Yes. Do I think it is a significant boost from last year? Nah, I'm not really anticipating it going from, whatever, the 23 games to 35 or anything like that. But could I see it go from, you know, the 23-ish? Could I see it going to 25 or 26? Yeah, that I could absolutely see. Because it's not just about Markstrom either. It's about Vladar earning a little bit more trust and thus a little bit more playing time too. So I do think he'll play more this year. I really liked him in this game against Vancouver. Might have been the best player overall for the Flames before he came out after 40 minutes of play. So yeah, I do think we'll see him a little bit more. As for over-under on Mangiapane 35, I will go under. And that's not to shortchange Mange at all. I think 30 in that range. I think he can get to 30 on a or flirt with 30 on a regular basis. But I'll still go under on the 35 goals for Mangiapane this season. Will in BC says, very happy to hear you guys are back. Always enjoy the postgame show. It's preseason, so not a lot to talk about. But wins are better than losses, even in the preseason. I wish Monahan the best this year in Montreal. But I was wondering, if he does come back to his old self, do you consider the deal to clear cap space for Kadri a good move? Personally, I'm happy with the team right now. Just wondered what you thought. Go Stamps, go Flames. Yes, even if Monahan is able to rebound, I don't think it was going to happen here. Because even if they don't get Kadri, which they wouldn't have been able to do had they not made the Monahan trade, Monahan's still playing behind Lindholm and Backlund. I don't know if it was ever going to happen here, whereas in Montreal, I think there's more of an opportunity for it to happen, and there's those big ifs physically that go along with this. How is Sean recovering, or how is he going to recover from a second significant hip surgery in a calendar year or in the span of 1 year? So regardless, I think it was a move that needed to be made, and the fact that they were able to land Nazem Kadri, who is a Selke Trophy quality center, who would have had in and around 100 points last year had he not had the injury, and who was a driving force in a Stanley Cup victory. I do think the Flames, whether Monahan rebounds in a big way or not, I think that regardless, you're talking about an upgrade with Kadri joining the team. This from Jeff in Lethbridge. Do you think Valimaki pushes his way on the team or gets involved in a trade to upgrade the wing? Well, I believe that there's always going to be, whether Yuso's involved or Mackey's involved or any of the, not any of, but you know, even when talking about some of the roster defensemen or regular NHL defensemen, I think that there's always going to be that ability, if the Flames want, to deal from a position of strength in the blue line to try to upgrade themselves if they feel they need it at forward. However, in saying that, I don't know if right now it's 100% necessary. See how things play out with Milano. See how things play out with Eakin. See how things play out with Peltier, so on and so forth, before you go down the road of making a trade and needing to acquire another forward. Now, in saying all that, on Yuso, I've actually quite liked what I've seen from him. Now, I did not watch him play in Vancouver tonight, so I can't...
we watched the game here at the Dome. I didn't see him play. He was paired with Stone in the game against the Canucks at Rogers Arena, so I didn't see him play. But I liked him in the scrimmage on Saturday, and I've liked him. He just looks a little bit lighter on his feet through the first two or three on-ice sessions I've seen him. He looks like he's in really, really good shape. I know that he absolutely busted his ass this offseason. He went back to Finland and crushed it. He came back early to Calgary and continued to really work. So, yeah, I've liked what I've seen from you so very early on. I thought Mackey had a really strong game and just a very poised game. He and Mackenzie Weegar saw a lot of tough defensive work in this game or a lot of defensive responsibility in this game. I thought Mackey looked, you know, very just quietly poised and solid in this one too. So that's with Oliver Shillington not here and with the Flames kind of operating for the time being with no timeline and just kind of like for the everybody, we all, the organization first and foremost and everybody on the outside, you know, Oliver Shillington's dealing with something pretty serious right now and something in his personal life. And he deserves all the time and all the privacy that he needs to work through it and all the good vibes, best wishes, all of that stuff. That's all we can do right now. And as he continues to work through whatever he's working through right now and the personal life, the family issue that he's going through right now, the Flames are kind of operating as if he's out indefinitely. And while he's not here, that opens a significant door through camp and the preseason and maybe into the regular season for the number 6 and number 7 spots on this blue line. And I think in Oliver's stead, well, he's not with the team, and they'll welcome him back as soon as he's ready. But while he's not with the team, I think that's kind of your one lineup conversation or your big battle. I think there are 4 players, 2 right shots, 2 left shots in the mix for 2 spots. Yusso and Mackey are the 2 left shots, and Michael Stone and Nick Meloche are the 2 right shots that I think are involved in that competition. We'll see how it plays out. But I have liked what I've seen from Valimaki in his first 2 or 3 ice sessions. This says Dustin Wolf looks to be the real deal. Actually exciting seeing a potential goalie from the farm potentially panning out in a few years makes the future look bright. That comes from Chris. Loved Wolf and Penticton. Everybody raving about him in the preseason game. The other split squad game in Vancouver. Yeah, he remains one of the top 1-2 prospects in the organization. He's coming off an incredible rookie season in the American League where he was goalie of the year, and let's see how he builds on it and continues to push towards the NHL. And finally, this says, everyone says it's only a preseason game. So what? I want to win every game preseason or not. Well, they did that not once but twice for you on this Sunday. 4-0 over Vancouver here and 3-2 in overtime over the Canucks there. Time for your final summary for the game played here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. No scoring in the first period. The Flames opened the scoring in the second period on a 5-on-3 power play. Jonathan Huberdeau's preseason debut also results in Jonathan Huberdeau's preseason first goal. Huberdeau's first from Noah Hanifin and Rasmus Anderson at 3:11 to make it 1-0. Less than 2 minutes later, PTO Cody Eakin makes it 2-0. Eakin Johnny on the spot for his first of the preseason. Jeremy Poirier and Michael Backlund draw the assist at 5:08. Then another power play goal later on in the second. Slap shot from Blake Coleman makes it 3-0. Coleman's first of the preseason from Backlund and Dylan Dubé at 11:57. 3-0 Flames after 40 minutes of play. They'd had one more in the very late stages of the third period with less than 15 seconds remaining. Brett Sutter scores a power play goal. Brett, back in the Flames organization with the Wranglers, makes it 4-0. Sutter's first of the preseason from Walker Duehr and Connor Mackey at 19:46. That was a power play goal to get us to our 4-0 final score. Final shots for 32-19 Flames. Calgary goes 3-for-7 on the power play. Vancouver 0-for-5 with the man advantage. Your 3 stars tonight, number 3, Dan Vladar. He made 15 of 15 in 2 periods of work tonight. Michael Backlund, your number 2 star, and a heck of a preseason debut for Jonathan Huberdeau. He is the number one star this evening. With the pair of wins tonight, Calgary is 2-0 in the preseason. They resume their schedule Tuesday on the road in Seattle. Vancouver 0-1-1. They resume Thursday at home to Seattle. And that is your final summary. That'll start to wrap things up for us, for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Peter Labardius, for our on-site engineers, Tim Khalil and Jeff Mason, for our reporter, Matty Rose, and for our outstanding producer, Aaron Howell. My name is Pat Steinberg. That'll wrap us up on your Flames Talk post-game show. Go hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon. Take us along for the ride. You get your podcasts, episodes in the afternoon, Monday to Friday, then every Flames post-game show as well on your Flames Talk podcast feed. Next up for the Flames goes Tuesday night in Seattle. Preseason game number 3 will be on the air at 7 o'clock with your Flames warm-up, and the puck drops from Climate Pledge Arena in the Pacific Northwest just after 8 p.m. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your Sunday night. Have a good week ahead. We'll talk to you on Tuesday. Final score from the Scotiabank Saddledome: Flames 4, Canucks nothing. Final score from Rogers Arena: Flames 3, Canucks 2 in overtime. Let's play 2, little split squad in the books. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, and this has been Alpine Credits Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
This is CFAC 960 AM, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, a Rogers Sports and Media radio station. Flames Radio is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Thanks for listening. Sportsnet.ca/960 has games and times for the next Flames Radio broadcast. This is a copyright broadcast. No retransmission, streaming, recording, or copying of the broadcast in any way is allowed without the permission of the Calgary Flames Hockey Club and Sportsnet 960. Calgary's home for the Flames and the National Hockey League is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.